This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, we begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال. May Allah accept from us our deeds. I mentioned to the jama'ah, the congregation, after the Isha prayer, and perhaps it's beneficial if we repeat it, especially for those joining us online. Just a benefit, that perhaps it will encourage us to push a little bit harder this evening. Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he mentions a reflection from Ibn Hubayrah, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon them both, that if an odd night from the nights of the 10 nights of Ramadan meets with the night of Jumu'ah, which is tonight, then there's a good chance that it may be Laylatul Qadr, the night of power and decree and virtue, a night which is better than 1,000 months. This is a reflection. We don't have any nas, any revealed text about this, but it's based on personal reasoning that the best night of the week is Laylat al-Jumu'ah, the night of Jumu'ah. And the best nights of the year are the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. Tonight is the 23rd night, I believe, for most of us here, the 23rd night. For some it might be the 22nd, Allahu A'lam. I believe there were two start dates to Ramadan here. Those who are visitors, students from other countries, you might not be aware of this. Alhamdulillah. Yani, where you come from, there's ni'mah, there's a blessing. Correct? You don't have this confusion, subhanAllah. But in any case, based on where I started Ramadan and based, inshaAllah, upon the timetable that the Melbourne Medina is upon, and from my discussions with some of you that you are following, then today is the 23rd night of Ramadan. And tonight is the night of Jumu'ah. So in case you're feeling a bit fatigued from the 21st night and the 22nd night, this is not the night to take your foot off the pedal. This is the night to carry on pushing the pedal to the metal, as they say. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. Ameen. Welcome to another episode in our Ramadan series, Reflections from Surah Yusuf in the 21st century. As we ponder over the verses in Surah Yusuf and extract lessons that can aid us in the time span that we are living in. And yesterday we stopped at the point of the king asking Yusuf alayhi salam to come out of the prison. The king telling the messenger to tell Yusuf to make himself present in the palace of the king. And Yusuf alayhi salam, he doesn't do so, subhanAllah. He doesn't do so immediately. He doesn't do so immediately, but rather he sends the messenger back. And he asks the messenger to ask the king to find out about a happening that happened many, many years ago with the women of the city, especially those who cut their hands, obviously referring to the incident when he was a slave in the minister's home and he was put through this trial with them, and they threw him away into prison without the key and without any trial, and his reputation obviously is at risk, right? Because he's a nobody. Remember, he was a slave. On top of being a slave, he was a foreigner. On top of being a foreigner, he didn't have a family. He didn't have parents, and so on and so forth. We mentioned the list of weaknesses that Yusuf alayhi salam lived through. So it's plausible, highly plausible, that his situation is one of a person whose honor might have been derailed, might have been disturbed. And we mentioned earlier that from the lessons in Surah Yusuf is that a person's honor should be protected. And if your honor is at stake, you should speak up. We've said this time and time again, right? The voice of Yusuf alayhi salam is rarely heard. But then subhanAllah, you hear Yusuf alayhi salam's voice when she locked him in the room, and then her husband opened the door and found them in the room together. And she laid blame onto him. Immediately he spoke, he said, "Hiya rawadatni an nafsi." She is the one who called me to her or tried to entice me. Why did he speak up here? Because he's defending his honor. But when the caravan took him as a slave, sold him as a slave, he didn't say anything. Right? And this is from wisdom. This is from wisdom. And we've said time and time again, Yusuf alayhi salam is complete, subhanAllah. Allah blessed him with amazing beauty in character, in mindset, in heart set, in soul set, even his body set, mashallah, tabarakallah. It was the complete package. He's the package that every sister would want to marry. You could say that. What more do you want, subhanAllah? You have everything. You don't have to worry. Sometimes you marry a man who's handsome. The sister marries a man who's handsome. But subhanAllah, character is lacking. Sometimes he has character, the looks are lacking. Sometimes he has character and he has the look, subhanAllah. Then you know what? The heart set is lacking. Iman is lacking. Right? It happens. He's not praying on time. Sheikh, he just does the bare minimum. He's not reading the Quran. He goes to Jumu'ah, يعني, as soon as the Imam does the takbir, he doesn't go for the to listen to the khutbah, right? Or sometimes, subhanAllah, he has these things, but mindset is lacking, maturity. He's mashallah, he looks okay, he's mashallah, his deen is okay, he's kind, but subhanAllah, mindset's lacking. He doesn't know how to juggle things. His mother is here, I'm here, and he doesn't know how to balance between us, for example. There's always something. Life is difficult, yani. And to the sisters, don't blame the brothers, because the brothers also have the same complaints. Right? Life is tough, marriage is tough, and that's why I always tell our brothers and sisters that, look, marriage is jumping off a cliff. It's jumping off a cliff. Marriage is jumping off a cliff. The question is, how prepared are you when you jump? Who is jumping without a parachute and who is jumping with a parachute? This is the difference. Otherwise, everyone is jumping. Everyone is jumping off the cliff. But it's who is preparing themselves for, who's putting a trampoline at the bottom, maybe some balloon, some inflated device to capture them, who has got a parachute. That's what you do. You take the means. But at the end of the day, subhanAllah, it's unknown territory. It's unknown territory. Especially in this day and age. And that's why don't be marrying the sister or the brother because of what he's doing on Instagram, guys. This is not marriage credentials. Yani, I know I need to marry him or I need to marry her because you know her Instagram page, mashallah. She's showing people how to wear hijab. She's, firstly, akhi, why are you watching how she's showing people how to wear hijab? Allah yahdik. Yani, you're not supposed to be watching this, firstly. Secondly, if she's putting herself out there like that, then there has to be something that needs to be investigated. Especially if she's showing you how to wear hijab, mutabarrija ba'd. Teaching you how to wear hijab with full makeup. This is something else, subhanAllah, that we see. Yani hijab, what is hijab? What is hijab? Yani is hijab a custom, yani how to tie your scarf? This is not hijab. Anyway, that's a discussion for another day. And I don't mean to offend anybody, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. لكن أنا لكم ناصح أمين. I'm just a sincere advisor. Don't be from those that fit the description, عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ تَصْلَى نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ. And you spent your life doing a lot of things, thinking this is good, and then you met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, and you found nothing with Allah. Allah tells us, وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Don't be, we make dua every Fatiha, don't be from amongst those who went astray. Who are those who went astray? Those who loved Allah, but they worshipped Him without knowledge. We spoke about those who think that they know, but they don't know. It's dangerous. عموماً. So Yusuf alayhi salam was the complete package. All the sisters would want to marry him. Let's go back. He had everything, subhanAllah. He had everything. However, he is in a situation now where he needs to stand up for himself because his reputation is at risk. And like we said yesterday, he doesn't want to come out of the prison, go work for the king, and then his reputation gets fixed because it looks like this. There's some foul play here. There's like the king is doing him a favor that he was guilty. But because the king needed him for some matter, they've cleared his his debt to society, they've cleared his crime towards mankind and so on and so forth because of some shared interest. No. And we said that this is from the completeness of Yusuf's ability to have sabr, the completeness of his character, because not only could he be patient when he had to be patient, but he could choose to be patient as well. And we discussed the different categories of patience. Now, what's also, subhanAllah, so phenomenal here is how Yusuf alayhi salam addresses this person. He doesn't say, go back to the king and tell the king to question the minister's wife what she did, about what she did. And you are asking the messenger to share a message with who? With the king of the land. And about who? The minister's wife. So what does he say? Look at the wisdom of Yusuf. He says, go back to the king. فَاسْأَلْهُ مَا بَالُ النِّسْوَةِ اللَّاتِي قَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنَّ. Go ask him about the women who cut their hands when they saw me. He didn't mention the minister's wife. Subhanallah. This is wisdom, huh? This is wisdom. Because if you're talking to the king about his minister and then the minister's wife, this is scandalous. This can be highly problematic. And who are you? Does anyone know who are Yusuf, Ibn Ya'qub, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Ibrahim? Does anyone know this? Nobody knows this. And he's a slave. Who are abd? Correct? Ah, this is hikmah, ya akhi. This is my dear brother. Ya akhi means my dear brother. MashaAllah, when I'm with the Arabic comes out. And the people online are like, why is Sheikh always speaking Arabic? Allah bless you all. This is adab. You see, you have to know. لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ, as the Arabs say. Every place has its appropriate speech. And wisdom is saying the right thing in the right way at the right time. So he doesn't mention the minister's wife. He mentions the women of the city. Because if the king addresses the women of the city are adiyat. They're normal people. Remember we said earlier, she was seen to be from the upper echelons of society. And they were, you could say, from the peasants. Because she was affected by them saying things about her. وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. Remember when we discussed the verse that the women in the city were talking about her. She felt offended about it. Why? I mean, if your peers talk about you, it might rub you the wrong way, but it's not as bad as when people who you see beneath you, right, talk about you. Call your character into question. That's why she called them into the palace and said, look, you want to see this quote-unquote feta, the slave boy, who's drowning me, you come see him for yourself. So according to Yusuf's wisdom, if the king addresses these people, they will talk about the incident in the palace. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's revelation and the eloquence of the Quran is so clear here. And as we say, Allah always takes us to the main points, because immediately we see the king addressing the women of the city, and subhanallah, all of a sudden we see قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ الْآنَ حَصَّصَ الْحَقِّ. All of a sudden we hear the voice of the minister's wife, even though Yusuf didn't mention her. We'll come to it inshallah. So take this into consideration as a lesson today, that sometimes you're at university, sometimes you are the head of an MSA, sometimes you're at work. There's things that you need to choose your battles. You need to know what you should take on, what you shouldn't take on, looking at the bigger picture. There's a bigger picture that you're trying to achieve, right? So you need to think about that bigger picture. How can I achieve it? Sometimes I might take on this battle, but I'll lose the war. Have you heard that statement? Sometimes lose the battle, but win the war. Sometimes to win the war, you need to lose some battles. That's how life is. And that needs wisdom. Now, again, I don't want to leave this open-ended, because who decides what is a battle to lose and a battle to win? In this day and age, we should have a shura. And not just this day and age, it's part and parcel of Islam. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. This was the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajmain. Allah praised the first generation because of the shura. They were people of shura. They sat and they did shura. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would face a situation and he would gather the muhajirun and the ansar. Imagine. He would not allow them to move out of Medina. The movement out of Medina, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and all different movements that we saw, happened after the death of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar would keep them as close as possible and he would do shura with them. So we must do shura. We should have a shura. We should have a committee of like-minded people who have knowledge and are responsible with their knowledge, who we trust. in terms of the vision and the bigger picture, what we're trying to achieve, and we discuss with them, look, this is the situation, should we do this, shouldn't we do that, should we speak up here, should we remain silent here, what are the harms of remaining silent, what are the benefits of speaking up, what are the harms of speaking up, okay, if we're going to speak up, how should we speak up, should I say this, shouldn't I say this? This should happen as a collective, as a shura. Because as a shura, you mitigate each other's relativity. What do I mean by that? What is relativity? All our ideas are relative. Correct? I'll give you a simple example. Life has a lot of relative realities. $100 Australian, is it a lot of money or is it not a lot of money?
No.
He says no. But if I call your son, what will he say? We should ask him. Huh? He would say, yes, $100 Australian, mashallah, I'm going to Malaysia for holiday. Huh? So he thinks, huh? I know. He told me. So you see, it's relative, isn't it? The value of $100 is relative between a human being and another human being. The same thing, maslaha and mafsada. What is beneficial and what is harmful is relative. From the perspective of one human being, this is good. From the perspective of another human being, it's not good. When the archbishops of Al-Madina Al-Muqaddasa, of Bayt Al-Maqdis, when they wanted to hand over Bayt Al-Maqdis to the Muslims, they said, we will give the kibah to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. When this message got to Medina, Umar did shura with the Sahaba. Should I go or shouldn't I go? And to my knowledge, Uthman was of the opinion that Umar shouldn't go, radiallahu anhu ajma'in. But Ali radiallahu anhu was of the opinion that he should go. You see, so it's relative, isn't it? Somebody says, don't go. There's more harm if you do. Someone else says, no, you should go. There's more harm if you don't. So you do it as a shura. And different voices, different people give input. Through that, you mitigate each other's relativity. This is the benefit of shura. Even in your home, my dear brother and sister in Islam, how you parent your child, it should be a shura between mother and father. And then alhamdulillah, if you have parents who are upon upon that understanding, of course you bring them in. If you have brothers and sisters, you bring them in. There's certain things you need to bring your brothers and sisters in. And that's why it's important that to the best of our abilities, when we get married and we have kids, we try and stay with our families, with our extended family. Because the satellite family kind of itemization of families today has proven harms. Because given how life is today, a mother and a father cannot, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's very difficult for them to give everything that a child needs in their development. Sometimes you need the voice of a grandfather. Sometimes you need the voice of a grandmother. Sometimes you need the voice of an aunt. You need the voice of an uncle. It's needed. Because if you're only talking to your kids, they get to an age where they say, subhanallah, my friend's parents are not telling them that. But my parents are. But now if they hear it from the uncles and the aunties, it becomes something that is considered normative. Something normal. Right? And then they're willing to extend trust to it. Because that's how children are. At the beginning of their lives, they extend trust to their parents without measure. Then they get to their teens and their minds start maturing. Now the extension of trust, there's limitations. It's high, but as they learn and as they mature and as they become more confident, you see it reducing slowly but surely. When they start earning money. Huh? Now the kid, the child now can buy things that he wants, maybe catch a bus here. He has independence, buy his shoes there. She can buy her clothing there. But more independence, we see this extension of trust that a child normally was doing with his or her parents when they were young, it's changing, subhanAllah. So that trust can be rebuilt when you have like-minded people around the child who are sharing the same perspective as the parent. The point is, my dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, Yusuf alayhi salam, he mentions the right thing at the right time in the right way, and we should learn from this. Perhaps, subhanAllah, one of the reasons why we fail to progress as per our potential is because a lot of the times we don't do the right thing at the right time in the right way. We don't. You know, in all aspects, whenever something goes pear-shaped in your life, analyze it and think. Obviously, hindsight is 20/20, so it's done now, right? Hindsight. How could I have done it better? What could I have said here better? Right? What could I have said to my father better? How could I have said this to my mother better? And the parents do the same. And you will see, subhanAllah, so many different ways. It's like when football managers analyze a football match, especially after a loss. They look at how the other team scored the goals. Now, sometimes they wonder goals. Unbelievable. I mean, this, no amount of training could have stopped this. Or a deflection happens. The qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, it's all the qadr. But sometimes you can see blatant mistakes. Blatant lines were opened. Blatant people didn't keep their positions, didn't keep things tight at the back, they didn't assume positions quick enough, or so on and so forth, right? These things happen. These things happen, and accordingly, we learn from it. We learn from our mistakes. You see, the manager will make notes from this, and then he will have private meetings with who? With individual players. And then he will have a team meeting, isn't it? And he will put it on the screen. And nowadays, with all the technology, they cut the exact snippets and pieces that are needed, and they analyze it. Subhanallah. We need this in our life. I'm not saying we should plan so hard that we don't do any action. Some people, subhanallah, they're planning. 1 week later, brother, what's happening? We're planning. 2 weeks later, we're planning. 1 month later, we're planning. 2 months, ya akhi, planning until when? Yani, the ummah needs the project. So everything within scale, within reason. Tamam. Another thing here of point of note that the scholars of tafsir mention, and this is mentioned by Ibn Ashur, rahimahullah, that it's interesting that Allah says Malik here. Allah says Malik. He doesn't say Fir'aun. Subhanallah. Allah says Malik, referring to the leader of Egypt, and doesn't say Fir'aun. We know also the pharaohs, they were known as the leaders of this land. But Allah says Malik. How come? He mentions an interesting point, subhanAllah, in his At-Tahrir wa At-Tanwir. It's an amazing contemporary tafsir book. He mentions that, subhanAllah, this is from the evidence that this Qur'an was revealed by Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about a historical piece of history, subhanAllah, that wasn't known. Wasn't known. That the Jews who are around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who might listen to you the story of Yusuf, maybe even they won't know that there was a time where there weren't pharaohs in this land, they were kings, they were muluk. Subhanallah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by default couldn't have known. And we and now, meaning modern historical studies, they've apparently uncovered certain historical texts that show an era of leaders in Egypt known as the Muluk. Malik, Malik, Malik. Plural of Malik is Muluk. Kings. It was a kingdom, right? Before they became pharaohs. We know Musa alayhi salam came after Yusuf alayhi salam. So this is a point to take note of, subhanAllah, that in this, subhanAllah, subtle delivery of the story of, meaning in this delivery of the verses of Surah Yusuf, Allah in a subtle way proves Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the Nabi. Because where could Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam known this from? How could he have known that the person who spoke to Yusuf was not a pharaoh but a malik? He was not a pharaoh but a king. From the era of the kings, not the era of the pharaohs. How could he have possibly known this? Subhanallah. So this is something to mention here as well as a point of benefit to prove, subhanallah, that this Qur'an indeed huwa al-haq. Huwa al-haq. Musaddiqan lima bayna yadayhi, as Allah tells us in the Qur'an. It's the truth that gives credence to that which they already have. The people of the scripture, they have what they have. The Qur'an gives credence to that which wasn't changed and that which was authentic in their books. Now, here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this is what happened. The messenger went to the king, he told the king. The king says, مَا خَطْبُكُنَّ إِذْ رَاوَتُنَّ يُوسُفُ عَنْ نَفْسِي. The king says, tell me about that incident. But subhanAllah, tell me about that incident when you all tried to seduce Yusuf against his wishes. How does the king know this? Did Yusuf say this? Did Yusuf say they tried to seduce me against my desires? And he says, مَا بَالُ النِّسْوَةِ اللَّاتِ قَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنَّ. It's from the eloquence of the Qur'an. Yusuf only said, ask the king to ask the women about their situation when they cut their hands. What happened when they cut their hands? And immediately the king here is talking about the specific incident. He's not talking about the cutting of the hands incident. He's talking about the incident of you trying to seduce Yusuf against his wishes. And this is from the eloquence of the Quranic stories and the eloquence of the Quran, that Allah leaves us to fill the gaps, because Allah created for us our brain, and the Quran is revealed. And this brain is the brain that interacts with the Quran, subhanAllah. That the brain has the ability to appreciate the eloquence of the Quran through this. That clearly, you can imagine that the king would have done this in a more specific way first, addressed maybe one or two people, got an idea that subhanAllah this happened, and then addressed them all. That a proper investigation took place. When an investigation happens, how does it happen? Is there just like a mass questioning? Bring everybody together and just ask people to put up their hand? Or do you investigate until you get the names of individuals, and then you speak to those individuals and you get a confession? And then from that confession, you get the list of names of the people who are present. And then once you get those names, you gather them up and then you ask them the question. I mean, how does it work? Are you guys with me or Mesh? Huh? Maybe I'm saying something wrong. Do tell me, because everyone is... Eyes are huge looking at me, Jama'ah. Tell me, you computing what I'm saying or... Tayyib. So, subhanAllah, this is again from the Quranic eloquence. As soon as the king asked him this question, قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سُوءٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. The best way to cure, the best way to solve, the best way to solve the dilemma of one's honor is to have the people who discredited your honor credited. Imagine the person who was the means of you being the criminal is the means of your innocence shining bright. I mean, is this like dhanni or qat'i? I mean, dhanni means, is this, qat'i means it's certain. Dhanni refers to a reality that is less than the level of certainty. Now, somebody is the means of you going to prison and you're innocent. And that same person confesses, says, I was guilty, he was innocent, he paid the price for a crime that he didn't commit. Isn't this from the most ultimate forms of establishing your innocence? What do you guys think? All of the women, they raised their voice, subhanAllah, to establish the innocence of Yusuf alayhi salam. SubhanAllah. And then we hear the voice of the minister's wife. قالت امرأة العزيز الآن حصحص الحق. الآن حصحص الحق. نعم. She says, as if she's saying, I tried, subhanAllah, I tried. She didn't say subhanAllah. You get my point, huh? This is part of the delivery. I tried to keep our honor intact and protect that event from another scandal or from an open scandal. And the haq has come out. Not just come out, but it's glaringly come out. The haq is so manifestly clear. It's clearer than the brightness of the sun, or as clear as the brightness of the sun. This is what she's saying. And then she has nowhere to hide. She has nothing left to do. If she tries to do anything now, it's only going to sink her deeper. So what does she say? أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَن نَفْسِي وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَنَا رَاوَدْتُ I am the one who tried to continuously رَاوَدْتُهُ. SubhanAllah, this has the meaning of the present continuous. I was the one who persistently tried to seduce him, and he is telling the truth. And he is telling the truth. And she says, إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Where else do we get this idea here about Sadiq and Yusuf alayhi salam being truthful? Do you remember in the story? Huh? Ayyuha Siddiq. Na'am. When the messenger came back to the prison and he said, Yusufu, Ayyuha Siddiq. Yusuf, oh truthful one. Yusuf was always truthful. And we spoke yesterday about dreams being attached to character. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those who are truthful in speech are truest in dreams. How many a times do we lie? Yeah, my brothers and sisters in Islam today, subhanAllah. And then we say it's a slip of the tongue. Yani we belittle it. We belittle it. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. but it's great with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say words and we're lying, we know we're lying. And then some people say, no, you're allowed to lie between husband and wife. No, who said that? Say, no, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the lie between a husband and wife is allowed. Not every lie. This is misunderstanding the hadith. Some brothers do this, wallahu al-musta'an, and some sisters as well. Where you're doing things you're not supposed to be doing and you're lying to your husband. And he's lying to his wife about where he was, about what he's doing, and so on and so forth. About where she was and what she's doing. Subhanallah. And eventually, when Allah lifts the sitr, when Allah lifts the covering, people are exposed. Like he lifts the covering off the women of the city and the minister's wife. This is not a permissible lie. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke about what we call a white lie. When you tell your wife, she's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Now most likely you've seen something more beautiful. Allah knows best. Allah doesn't write this against you. Doesn't write this against you. I don't want to take this into the marriage discussion. But brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to watch our tongues. This tongue, subhanallah, this tongue, it's a piece of flesh, right? It's very sophisticated. Because of it, you can taste a lot of ingredients. Because of it, you can speak multiple languages. But subhanallah, this tongue also can get you flung into the depths of Jahannam. This piece of flesh that's small can get you flung into the pits of hell. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the people of Jannah, what does he say? وَهُدُوا إِلَى الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. The people of Jannah were guided when they lived the life of this world, إِلَى الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ, to a goodly word. الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ is a goodly word. Is lying from the category of goodly words? No. وَهُدُوا إِلَى الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. Do not lie. May Allah save us. Do not lie. And during these nights, ask Allah to forgive you for lying. In our business deals, we lie. Because of the pressure of getting the deal over the line or making the sale, sometimes we oversell a product. Sometimes we make promises that we can't deliver. We do that. We let the moment get the better of us and we forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what happens? I was speaking to our brothers and sisters in Brisbane and Sydney about this month being the month of dua, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us about the about fasting and Ramadan in three verses in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the second juz, in three verses, in the second quarter of the second juz. The fourth verse, immediately after it, is related to dua. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَنَ. Allah says, if my slave asks you about me, then I am near. I answer the call of the caller when he or she supplicates. Allah says, he answers our dua. But my brother and sister in Islam, your dua has to reach Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us about a person, subhanallah, who makes dua, who is desperate. Look, this hadith is so precise because in another verse in the Quran, Allah says, أَمَّن يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرْ إِذَا دَعَى. Who is the one who answers the call of the muttar, of the desperate one, when the desperate one calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's Allah who answers, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us about a man who's in the desert, who's lost his riding animal along with his provisions, and now he's lost. He can't see any help. He can't see any safety. He can't see any city. He can't see any town. He can't see any water well. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know right from left. He doesn't know north from south. And he is in a desperate situation. And he raises his hand and he calls out to Allah. And he says, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, oh my Lord, oh my Lord. But mashrabuhu haram, wa ma'akaluhu haram, wa malbasuhu haram. His dress was bought with haram clothing. And what he eats, sorry, haram wealth. What he eats is bought with haram wealth. What he drinks is bought with haram wealth. Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. يعني, where is he going to get the answer to his dua from? This dua is not going to reach Allah. And sometimes through our lies, we build a reputation for ourselves that gets us a job that we don't deserve. We're going to talk about this when we get to the discussion between Yusuf and the king. So perhaps we will delay that till then. If I don't, remind me. Those who build for themselves false credentials. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to tell us that the minister's wife says, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمْ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. This is so that لِيَعْلَمْ, he may know, لَمْ أَخُنْهُ, I did not أَخُنْهُ, deceive him, يعني خيانة, right? From being deceptive, deflective. She's saying this is that so that he may know that I did not deceive him in his absence. And the scholars of tafsir say that there's two tafsirs here, meaning there's two explanations of this verse depending on the pronoun, yani akhun, who. This pronoun, who does it refer to? Is it her husband or is it Yusuf alayhi salam? Is it her husband or is it Yusuf alayhi salam? Wallahu a'lam, these are two tafsirs. Some say that she is saying, this is so my husband can know that I did not deceive him or deflect him in his absence because nothing happened between us. Yusuf didn't do anything. As she's saying, أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِي فَاسْتَعْصَمْ. I tried to seduce him and he didn't. So this is so my husband can know that I didn't commit adultery with him. The other tafsir says that, no, what she is saying here is that this is so Yusuf can know that I didn't spoil his reputation behind his back when he was in the prison. Wallahu a'lam, this seems like the stronger tafsir. And what proves it further is the fact that she says thereafter, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. And this also, plausibly, when we look at As-Siyaq Al-Qur'ani, when we look at the context of the Qur'an, comes across as she is the one who's saying it. Again, I don't want to go into the details of the tafsir because I want to make this a tadabbur session, so I'm going to focus on the view that I feel is strongest and truest to the context and the evidence, okay? But there's also two tafsirs in terms of who is saying وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. Is it Yusuf saying وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي? Or is it the minister's wife saying وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي? And what's more closer to the context and the evidence is that this is the speech of the minister's wife. But before she says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي, we'll get to that. She says, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْكَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. Right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide the plot of a deceptive one, a deceitful one. نعم, deceitful. This is deceit. خِيَانَة, to be deceitful. So the question is, did they believe in Allah? And the answer is no doubt they know about Allah. But they associated partners with Allah. And they didn't follow the laws of Allah. Because we can see from the series of their actions a pattern. She goes on to say, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. Like I said, we'll stick to this tafsir. That I do not announce myself as innocent. I'm not trying to present myself as an innocent soul. SubhanAllah, it's all coming out now, huh? It's all coming out, SubhanAllah. All coming out. She says, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Indeed, the nafs, أَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ, is inclined towards evil, a mighty inclination. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي, except the soul that receives mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. Now, if we look into the Quran, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes three states of the nafs. Firstly, she says, nafsi. What is a nafs? What is a nafs? What is a nafs? Do we know? What does the self entail? Technically, no. A soul is the ruh. The soul is the ruh. The heart is the qalb. The aql is the brain. The intelligence of a person. No, not the desires. The nafs. What is the nafs? The nafs is the description of the human being when their soul is connected to their body whilst living in the life of this world. Meaning after they come out of the womb of their mother, till they die, they have a nafs. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Right? Allah talks about the one who shaped and created the nafs, and Allah inspired it to know what's right from what's wrong. When do we know right from wrong? When we live the life of this world. And that is why when a person passed away, the Prophet from his companions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam closed his eyes, because when he passed away, his eyes remained open. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha sa'ada ar-ruh." He didn't say nafs. To answer your question, you said nafs is the ruh. No, he said, "Idha sa'ada ar-ruh." When the soul is lifted, tabi'ahu an-nazar. The eyesight follows it. So sometimes the eyesight follows it, and then the electricity leaves you because the ruh is the electricity of the body. Once the electricity leaves you, the eyes couldn't close. Anyway, that's a different matter. But we're doing istishhad, okay? We're doing istishhad. So she's saying nafs here. What is she referring to? The human being in the life of this world, when they have a soul connected to the body. And when we look into the Quran, we see that this soul connected to the body in the life of this world exists in three states. Some say there's three types of nafs. This is not precise. The nafs is one, but the nafs goes through three states. The first state is a nafs, this one here. Ammaratun bisu. The nafs that is inclined towards evil, a great inclination, except the nafs that Allah has showered His mercy upon. That your nafs by default wants, it desires things. And it's a tool for shaitan. That what Allah tells you, don't do, the nafs has a desire for it. And what Allah says, do, the nafs has an averseness to it. Especially when you get to the ages of taklif. And the desires take over. Meaning they become prominent in the person's life. Age of taklif means when you get to your teen years and the pens are dropped and now they're recording everything you do, meaning you become mature. So this is the first state of the nafs. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Allah showers His mercy on whom He wills. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was preserved. Abu Bakr also was known pre-Islam to be as close to his fitrah, radiallahu anhu. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. And we have some people, subhanallah, that they have this inclination, but they have a greater control over that inclination. This is from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy. When Abu Bakr asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a dua, for him to recite, and predominantly in his salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira, wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant, faghfir li maghfiratan min imdik warhamni. Ask Allah for His mercy. To tame your desires, you need Allah's mercy. To tame your desires, you need Allah's mercy. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi. Oh Allah, I have oppressed myself for great oppression. وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. No one forgives sins besides you. فَغْفِرْ لِي. Forgive me. مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. Forgiveness from you. وَارْحَمْنِي. Have mercy upon me, Ya Allah. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, you are the most forgiving, the most merciful. سَلْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala رَحْمَتَهُ. سَلِ اللَّهُ رَحْمَتَهُ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy. She's saying, إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّ. Even in her kufr and her disbelief, she's announcing that except who, meaning the Rabb, meaning the Creator, the Lord, and they believed in the rububiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His Lordship, that except the one who the mercy, meaning Allah's mercy, the Lord's mercy reaches, subhanallah, they are inclined towards sinning and inclined towards desires, a great inclination. So that's the first state. The second state is a praiseworthy state. This state is not a praiseworthy state. The second state, Allah teaches us about it in Surah Al-Qiyamah. In Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah takes an oath by this nafs. لَا أُقْسِمُ بِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. النَّفْسَ اللَّوَّامَةِ. This is the second state of the nafs. And this state, Allah loves it because this is the state of a nafs, of a being that is fighting his or her desires for the sake of Allah. So Allah loves this. You have to fight it. It's a battle. Lawama, meaning the self-reproaching nafs. It's a nafs that is going here, but you reproach it. You say, no, haram, I'm not doing this. It wants to look up, but you look down. It wants to watch something it shouldn't be watching, it switches it off. It's a battle. Allah loves this battle. Allah loves it to the extent that He takes an oath by it. Allah only takes an oath by that which is noble. Allah loves to see His slave fight for Allah. This is a jihad. The jihad of the nafs is a jihad. You have a jihad when you face the enemy, the external enemy, and you have the jihad of the internal enemy. You have to have jihad with yourself. You have to fight it. Allah loves that jihad. You are in jihad, fighting yourself for the sake of Allah. Allah loves it. And then a slave fights through this period until the nafs gets to the ultimate, best, most relaxed, most serene state. And that is known as an-nafs al-mutma'innah. Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutma'innah. The nafs that is serene and content and pleased with Allah, and Allah is pleased with it. It's upon halal with ease, and it's away from haram with ease. There's no battle. There's no battle. Don't have to fight to stay away from that. And I don't have to fight to do that. The heart is with the masjid. The heart is with the da'wah. The heart is with good deeds. You're just naturally inclined to it. It motivates you. You're ready for it. You're on time every time. You don't need to be reminded. This is a nafs that is content with the guidance that Allah revealed upon His Messenger. And when this nafs dies, Allah calls out to this nafs, honors this nafs by calling out to it, أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ. O content, serene nafs. إِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. Return to your Lord, who you lived your life for. You fought a battle for, and then you lived upon His do's and stayed away from His don'ts for His sake. رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً رَاضِيَةً. Whilst you are pleased, مَرْضِيَةً, and Allah is pleased with you. May Allah make us from amongst those who receive this call when our time to pass away comes. Ameen. Ya رَبَّ العالمين. She says, إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed, my Lord is غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Subhanallah. And this is a good place to end today, especially since it might be Laylatul Qadr. That my dear brother and sister in Islam, as I speak, I'm thinking of my own mistakes, my own sins. As you listen to me, I'm sure in your mind you are thinking of things. But as you think of this, subhanallah, look at this disbeliever and what she's saying. Inna Rabbi Ghafurur Rahim, indeed my Lord is the forgiving, the merciful. And clearly she knew this, because when the first scandal took place and her husband caught her, what did the husband say to her? What did the husband say to Yusuf? A'rid an hadha. And what did he say to her? Wastaghfiri li dhanbik. Seek forgiveness for your sin. So she's acknowledging that my Lord forgives. And my Lord is merciful. And even the Christians, even the Jews, whoever believes in God, if you speak to them about God, how did they describe God? As forgiving and as merciful. نَحْنُ أَوْلَى بِرَبِّنَا. Not so? أَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ. We have a greater right to our Lord. We have a greater right to His mercy. We have a greater right to the statement, إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. We have a greater right to the statement. We have a greater right to this engagement. So, use this night to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, Ya Rabbi, أَذْنَبْتُ ذَنْبًا فَاغْفِرْ لِي يَا رَبِّ. Oh my Lord, I have sinned, forgive me. Oh my Lord, I have sinned, forgive me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us about a slave who sins. And the slave says, Ya Rabbi, أَذْنَبْتُ ذَنْبًا فَاغْفِرْ لِي. Oh my Lord, I have sinned, forgive me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, bear witness, I have forgiven him. Why? Because Allah is Al-Ghafir, the one who forgives. And then the slave sins again and doesn't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. He doesn't plan it, she doesn't plan it, but subhanallah, it got the better of them. Or maybe they planned it and they were not aware of Allah. They were jahil of Allah. They were ignorant of Allah. And now they have an understanding of Allah and they regret what they did in their past. So you turn to Allah again. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this person turns to Allah and says, Ya Rabbi, O my Lord, أَذْنَبْتُ ذَنْبًا, I have sinned, فَغْفِرْ لِي, forgive me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels to bear witness that the slave is forgiven. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Yani brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah is not only Al-Ghafir, the one who forgives, but He's Al-Ghaffar, the one who perpetually forgives. The one who forgives you after forgiving you. The one who forgives you after forgiving you. Al-Ghaffar, the one who perpetually forgives, subhanallah. But then the slave sins again. Allahu Akbar. Again, after Allah forgiving him or her twice, they sin again. And they turn to Allah, say, Ya Rabbi, أَذْنَبْتُ ذَنْبًا فَاغْفِرْ لِي. Oh my Lord, I have sinned, forgive me. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do now? I was speaking about this in the Names of Allah series that we're running every Sundays with the sisters, and I was asking them what would happen. In this day and age, somebody wrongs us once, what do we do? They wrong us twice, what do we do? They wrong us three times. Three strikes and you're gone. Nowadays, not even three strikes, one strike. Ya akhi. One slip and they say, Ya akhi, khalas, all trust is broken. My brother, all trust is broken. We've been building trust for the last 10 years, but you did this, that's the end of it. Block. WhatsApp block. Twitter block. Facebook block. Every platform block. And if you're in the same group, I'm leaving the group. Huh? Allahu musta'an. May Allah give us maturity, Ya Rab. Everyone's laughing because you have had these experiences, huh? I hope it's not you who's leaving the groups and blocking people. It's a sign of weakness in maturity when you block people for a difference of opinion. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just Al-Ghafir. And He's not just Al-Ghaffar. He's also Al-Ghafoor upon the scale Al-Fa'ool, La ilaha illallah. Words upon the scale Al-Fa'ool denote an occupation. As if Allah is teaching us that He is the one who forgives and perpetually forgives, and it is His occupation to forgive. So it's the slave's right to keep walking through the door of Al-Ghafoor, because that's the office of Al-Ghafoor. It's his occupation to forgive. So no matter how many times you sin, you go and ask Al-Ghafoor for forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to His angels that bear witness that this slave of mine, he knows or she knows that they have a Lord who is capable over them. He can take them to task. He can punish them. But also, He's the most forgiving, the most merciful. Bear witness that whatever my slave does from today, they're forgiven. Allahu Akbar. This is easy for Allah. Sahal. Easy for Allah to forgive you until the day of Qiyamah for whatever sin you will do thereafter. Obviously, you don't know that Allah has done this, so you keep trying. But it's easy for Allah to forgive you. My dear brother and sister in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect from ever. And He is perfect forever. He doesn't need you to be a good Muslim for His majesty to be greater. And you being a bad Muslim does not decrease His majesty. He doesn't need us. This is easy for Allah. And that's why in the Hadith Qudsi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah says, Ya ibn Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك أنان السماء ثم استغفرت لي لغفرتها لك ولا أبالي. That, O son of Adam, if you sinned and sinned and your sins reached the surfaces of the skies, لا إله إلا الله. How many sins can you do? Imagine filling up Australia up to the highest level of, I'm not talking about the cumulonimbus, I'm talking about the cirrus, the higher clouds. You fill up your atmosphere full of sin. Allah says, then you seek forgiveness from Allah. لَغَفَرْتُهَا لَكَ, I'll forgive your sins for you. وَلَا أُبَالِي, and it doesn't even mean anything to Allah. It doesn't mean anything to Allah. يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّكُمْ تُخْطِئُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. O son of Adam, you sin during the day and you sin during the night. وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. And Allah says, I forgive all your sins. فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِ أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. So seek forgiveness from me. Some translations say, And I will forgive you. This is not precise. For those who understand the Arabic language, we have shart wa jawabu shart. Allah says, فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِي أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ, meaning, seek forgiveness from me sincerely and consider yourself forgiven. Don't doubt that Allah, sometimes we ask Allah to forgive us, وَنَشُكْ فِي أَنفُسِنَا, yani we doubt, did Allah forgive me? Didn't He forgive me? I don't know. La. Allah is saying, meaning, no, Allah is saying, ask Allah to forgive you and get up from your point, your spot, believing that if you were to die in the next moment, you have nothing to answer for. You should have husnul dhan, have good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Imagine. Inna Rabbi ghafoorun rahim. Indeed, my Lord is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Easy for Allah. I leave you to go and worship Allah during a night that could be Laylatul Qadr with the ayah of hope. Where is this ayah of hope? It's in Surah Az-Zumar. In Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the scholars of tafsir, ulama tafsir, they say, هذه الآية يعني هي آية رحمة. It's the ayah of mercy, it's the ayah of hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals. Pay attention. This is to us. Allah reveals.
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
سبحان الله. Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا. Tell my ibad, my servants, O Muhammad, those who asrafu ala anfusihim, they wronged themselves severely. They were so sinful. For years they were sinful. They adopted the most major of crimes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, tell them, O Muhammad, as long as they're breathing, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Subhanallah. Not لا تيأسوا. لا تقنطوا. القنوط. This is a more severe form of despair. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Allah will forgive your sins wholesale, quicker than the blink of an eye. لا أبالي. It's easy for Allah. إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Indeed, Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. And I add from Surah Fatir, يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد. Oh mankind, you are poor, you are impoverished in comparison to Allah. والله هو الغني الحميد. Allah is الغني, He is the absolutely, perpetually rich one. الحميد, the owner of all praise, the owner of حمد, the greatest of praise. It's easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our past, inspire our futures, and make us from the family of Al-Quran this Ramadan, and raise us with the family of Al-Quran in the hereafter. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Hada wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa jazakumullahu khair.